This is USA Radio News. I'm Russ Jones.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Later. Welcome back to the program. All right. We're here with another edition of the Bucket Strategy Investing Show. Welcome to Thursday. I'm kidding. Oh, well. All right. I even put it in there. I've got Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group here once again. Johnny Dean, ready to take your phone calls and answer your emails. Coming up this hour, we're going to start things off with a discussion on long-term care, specifically these linked benefit policies. We've had some questions on these, and we thought we'd address some of them, too. Professor Plum even has a case study, not necessarily on those, but on long-term care. Now, regarding long-term care, you may not think you're ever going to need it, and, of course, maybe you won't. But the problem is that you won't know if you really need it until you do need it, and then it's too late. On the other hand, you probably know right now if you need life insurance, so maybe there's a way to sort of combine both of those risks and potentially solve them together. This is where a linked benefit policy might come in handy. But should you consider any long-term care at all? We're going to talk about it coming up here for a segment or two with Professor Plum. Our number in studio, we got lines open. 877-PLANNER. You can give us a call right here, 877-752-6637. You can send us your emails as well. We're going to get to those this hour and next hour. You just head over to the wealthed.com website at the Find Your Answer link. You'll see it there near the top of the page. This hour of the program, heard and seen all across this land of ours, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. We're a part of them. You've seen how complicated financial planning can be. Trying to do this on your own is a fool's task at best. All right? You need the advice. You need the experience of the team from Lucia Capital Group. You can call them directly off the air, 800-644-1150. You can do so and schedule an appointment with any of the Brain Trust advisors to see where you and your retirement plan stand. You're not alone. You know that? You are not alone. The Brain Trust is here to help you out in any way you can. Again, their number off the air, 800-644-1150. Now, our number here in the studio, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. We're going to take your calls. I know we've got some folks on hold that have called here just during the top of the hour, so we're going to get to them first. We are going to talk in just a couple of moments, though, Professor Plum, maybe this segment, maybe next segment, about long-term care. Do you find people surprised that their long-term care benefits, premiums have been sort of raised in some cases quite a bit?
That does catch a lot of people by surprise, but it's been several years since this has been happening now, and so people are less surprised and more angry about it than anything else, but they understand in many cases that it could potentially go up, and that unfortunately is a fact with the long-term care issues. Policies that were bought 10, 15 years ago, we're not priced right. I mean, the insurance companies are admitting that, but unfortunately, they're not going to suck up the difference in price. You are, and you get the point. Now, the question is, do you want to continue with it? You bought it for a reason, and the fact that it's going to go up, and in many cases, the premium goes up in price, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't actually keep the policy. Now, most of the times, every time that I've seen it, when they increase the premium, they give you options to try to help maintain the premium or at least reduce the increase.
But by reducing
you have to give up something.
Right.
You give up the length of the benefit, the cost of living allowance, you have some of the money on the benefit. The price is going up, and so the only way to keep it from going up is to limit some other factor. It depends on how it fits into your situation, whether or not that makes any sense.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of these things in just a little bit. Long-term care, the idea that perhaps you need to protect your net worth. Now, if you don't have a net worth or you don't care anything about it, you may not need it, but there are a lot of people who do. There are some different benefit options you can consider. And once again, these linked benefit policies, I kind of like these things for certain people. We're going to tell you what they are and how they work. So let's take a couple of calls. I know we have two people on hold, so we'll get to them right now. 877-PLANNER, though. We do have three lines open, 877-752-6637. Let's go first up this hour to Bruce in Renton, Washington. Hello, Bruce.
Well, hi, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
Well, I just had a question. I've been hearing about RMDs, mm-hmm. required minimum distributions, and I was, and in, given that I suppose I'll be 70 someday, or 70 and a half, what I wanted to know was, is when it comes time to do that with your various 401ks, IRAs, etc., do you just do it, take the distributions from the table, or is there like paperwork and IRS forms you have to fill out and such? What's it like to do it?
It's not difficult, and this is one situation where there is no paperwork. You just have to take out the right amount, and as long as the right amount comes out, it doesn't get questions. If you don't take out the right amount, heck, in the last 10 years, very few people got caught for not taking out the right amount. Hopefully, the IRS was called to the table on that, and I think they're putting in positions in place to be able to track that better and actually get the penalty from people. But there's no paperwork. You just calculate it. You go through, you find out your balance of all your IRAs, any other different retirement accounts you have. Do the math and figure it out. So if you need to take out, $4,327, usually you bump it up to the next 100 or the next 1,000, depending upon the size of the RMD, and you just make sure you take that amount out per year. It's rare. I haven't seen it questioned, but you may want to take that paper that you did all the calculations on and just stick it in your tax file, just so you can, if you're ever questioned on it. Now, it's unlikely that you'll be questioned as long as you're taking out the right amount. But there's no form to file. There's no anything to do with it. You just take out the right amount or more.
Okay. Well, that was pretty easy. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, who knows? By the time you're 70, however many years away it is, maybe they'll change the rules and put another form in, because it is a bureaucracy and they want to see all the paperwork.
Well, how old are you right now?
I am good. I am almost 63.
Oh, okay.
So you got plenty of time.
All right.
plenty of time to worry about it. Okay.
Yes.
Or not.
No, I don't think anything's going to change by the time you're 70 and a half, Bruce. That's
now, the real thing
away.
Is you have plenty of time to potentially do something about it, in the fact that you may be able to start doing conversions now. You've got 7 years before there's a required minimum distribution. You may want to start, once you retire, I don't know if you've retired yet, but start living off the IRA earlier than age 70 to try to draw down the balance of the IRA so the RMD is not as large.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, how big are your retirement accounts? What are you looking at?
Well, in terms of the ones that would require RMDs, I've got about a quarter of a million.
Okay. So you got about, $10,000 of required minimum distribution plus whatever it grows to over the next several years. Are you looking to use that money to live off of, or do you have pensions and other sources of capital where this money is kind of extra?
Well, I've got another quarter million in just untaxed, accounts.
Personal accounts, yeah.
Personal accounts, and then I'll get some social, a little bit of Social Security.
Okay, and so were you looking to not take any money from the IRA?
Well, I guess the obvious risk is the IRAs, if we're lucky and the stock market continues to go up, the IRAs would become large and I'd have to pay more and more tax on them. So I was actually thinking about I have a little bit of money in Roth, but it's negligible. So I've been thinking about just taking the money from IRAs, when I do retire in a couple of years, and just spending that money first.
Exactly. And that makes
low tax.
So you would either want to spend the IRA. So you've got your Social Security. When you retire, you'll have your Social Security. Are you married or single?
I am single.
So you've got another $10,000 or so potential of room to take out money from the IRA without paying any taxes. So you'd want to utilize that 0% tax bracket, your standard deduction or itemized deductions, and your personal exemption, the income that it's wiped out from a tax standpoint by those, and take it from the IRA. And if you have, if you do get lucky in the stock market, you want that luck to happen in your personal account not your IRA. So how you go about investing your personal money versus your IRA money comes into play here to help reduce the overall taxation for the rest of your life. Because if you do have that luck of the stock market happen in your IRA and the required minimum distribution goes up, and it goes up, you know, nicely, and you start pulling more money out, now some of your Social Security will be taxable as well. Whereas if it's in the personal account, you know, we can maybe manage, or you can manage it. You can pay capital gains rates instead of ordinary income rates. So some tax management comes into play here as well. And so you're either going to want to live off of personal money when you retire and convert as much as possible to your Roth without jumping tax brackets, or live off the traditional IRA.
Sure.
And try to stunt the growth in the IRA and let the growth happen in the personal account.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I tell you what, I hang on a second, Bruce. If you need some more information, I'm going to have Professor Plum maybe help you out a little bit more on this, because I'm glad you called it. We talked a lot about required minimum distributions yesterday, and that's one of the strategies that we mentioned.
And it does come into play, especially with the tax planning on what we're doing. Unfortunately, a lot of things have been written about you always want to live off the personal account first until you turn 70 and a half.
Continue to defer always.
And then defer. And once I get out to retirement, now when you're 30, 40, even in your 50s, you want growth. I mean, you're just trying to grow everything you have. You're trying to grow your personal account. You're trying to grow your IRA. You just want as much net worth as possible. But once you get out to where you're close to or into retirement, you want the growth that's going to occur from here forward, if possible, to happen in the personal account, not the IRA. Because once you get out to that age, you're going to blend the portfolio out a little bit where not 100% of it's going to be growth like it is when you're 30, 40. So where should you invest the growth assets? In most cases, personal money is a better choice.
It sure can be for many people. All right, 877-PLANNER. We got a couple lines open for you. 877-PLANNER. Bucket Strategy Investing continues. Don't go away.
How do you know if there's more you can add to your investment strategy?
How do you know if there's more you can do?
How do you know?
How do you know how you can manage risk?
How do you know if insurance fits in your strategy?
How do you know what other investments are available?
How do you know?
Where do you go?
Where do you go?
Where do you turn to learn about financial planning? Where can you access the information that may help you make informed decisions about investing? Lucia Capital Group has an online resource with original programming, on-demand videos, and informative articles all designed to educate you about creating a strategy for your financial future. It's WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com, not just a website, an archive of financial topics that could answer some of your most fundamental questions.
How do you know? Where do you go?
Go to WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com, a service of Lucia Capital Group, an online financial education center. Learn more. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. It's one of the most common concerns for stock market investors.
Nobody knows when the next market collapse is going to happen.
Ray Lucia Jr., on the Risk Buffer Investment Strategy.
Really, the question is, how do we prepare for the next market downturn?
Many investors fear another severe market drop.
They remember 2008 like it's yesterday, and they're looking for ideas and concepts where they may be able to protect some of their portfolio. And that's where a risk buffer potentially comes in.
Spend 10 minutes watching a video that explains the risk buffer concept and where it may fit in your investment strategy. Now online at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com.
Within the strategy itself, there's lots of ways to customize it.
Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy in a free video. Go to riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, and affiliate of Lucia Capital Group.
The safety oath. Repeat after me. I will safely bring safety to my facility and keep it safe. I will safely keep my people safe. I will put safety first in everything I do, and I will safely do so with Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Grainger's got over 100,000 safety products to help keep our facility safe and our people safer. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, You can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Talking to you about your money, once again, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, the Brain Trust from Lucia Capital Group, 877-PLANNER, our number. We've got some lines open for you right now, 877-PLANNER. We'd love to hear from you. Whatever money issue is on your mind, we're here to answer it for you on the program, 877-752-6637. Emails at our website, wealthed.com. All right, so we started talking a little bit, Professor Plum, last segment about long-term care. We know that in many instances, premiums have been raised for people, not for everybody, but for some people. You know, the whole idea, I guess, of long-term care has to do with protecting what assets you have so that they don't wind up going toward your long-term care. And who knows how much that's going to be.
Right, and so long-term care is not for the super rich, and it's not for people that don't have any money. If you are poor and you don't have any net worth to protect, most of the time the state will pick up the tab. Medicaid will pay for long-term care. It may not be a facility you want to be in, but you know there is help for people that don't have the money. And if you're the uber rich, if you've got multiple millions of dollars, you can afford, you know, the amount of money. You'll probably save your heirs money by you going into the home because you'll spend less money there than you were when you were out, you know, playing around. So you don't need the long-term care if you're super rich. It's the rest of us in the middle that have a little bit of net worth, and that net worth is required, especially for a surviving spouse, but we would also like to be able to pass it on to our heirs rather than spend it all for a long-term care stay, either home health care or nursing home. And so that's where long-term care comes into play. Now, there are some people in the middle that don't need long-term care necessarily. I've met individuals that have a lot of pension money. They've got, you know, 12, 15. Both of them have big pensions.
You were just talking to somebody like that.
I was talking to somebody that doesn't have massive pensions. They had good pensions.
Well, pensions that they could live off of, though. Well,
and so I was actually speaking with somebody the other day, and they were questioning whether they still wanted to continue paying the premiums on the long-term care policy that they bought 16, 17 years ago. They've been paying. Now, luckily, their policy has not experienced the increase in price that others have. But they're still wondering, okay, we've been paying this premium. You know, it's $200 a month covering both of them. But it's nursing home only care. And they've been paying it, you know, for 16, 17 years. And they're wondering, do I really need this? Because they do have good pensions. And then they have a nice portfolio, not massive, but a, you know, good portfolio, $300,000-$400,000 sitting off the side. And right now, the only thing that they're dealing with that portfolio is taking the required minimum distributions because their pensions are more than enough to survive on. So they're thinking, why do we need this long-term care? And then we started talking about why they needed it and whether they needed to continue it because, hey, if they don't need it, why keep it, right? But we found out what happens, though, is if one of them passes away, both of their Social Securities are similar. They're both very, you know, fairly equal wage earners, and their Social Securities are about the same. So if one of them, or when one of them passes away, one of the Social Security goes away. That's a pretty big ding. It was more than $2,000 a month. Also, the pensions that they have, they each have similar pensions. And one of them has no survivor benefit because they expect that person to live longer. The other one has only a 50% survivor benefit. So no matter who passes away first, there's going to be a fairly sizable drop in income for that surviving spouse. And that's what the portfolio is there to provide. The portfolio is there to pick up the slack for the survivor. The problem is, what if the spouse, one of the spouses goes into a home and it requires them spending a chunk of that portfolio, because they're actually living off of the pensions they're getting. They're not saving anything. They're living off of, there may be a little bit of a savings because they won't be traveling quite as much if one of them goes into a home, but they don't have that much of an extravagant lifestyle anyway, where there's a lot of superfluous expenses in there. So there's going to be, they're going to need that portfolio for the survivor. But what if they go into a home and they need to use that portfolio to provide for the home, the nursing home? And so that's where the purchase of the long-term care really comes into play. It's protecting the survivor's net worth, which means it's protecting the survivor's income in the event one or the other of them goes into a home and uses a big chunk of that income. The whole idea of long-term care is to protect those assets, either to pass on to your heirs. And that's where, even though earlier I said this, the wealthy, wealthy, wealthy don't need long-term care, many of the very, very wealthy people do buy long-term care because they know that they are transferring that risk and they're protecting at least a portion of their estate for their heirs, whether it be a surviving spouse or ultimately down the line for the kids or successive generations. So that it is all about protecting that net worth. Now, some people do need it because they don't have the net worth to provide for it. And so we want to do it. Now, all the states have partnership programs, and so we can potentially protect more assets and pass more on as long as we have these types of long-term care policies, that we don't have to spend every dime we have before the government will come in and help pick up the tab.
You're saying certain states have this?
All states have partnership plans. And what the partnership plans do is they say, right now, if you want to go out, you're a single individual, and you want the government to cover your long-term care stay, if you want Medicaid to pick it up, Medi-Cal if you're in California, you pretty much have to have less than $2,000 in assets. And so you have to spend almost everything down. Now, IRAs are a little bit different game in this. But you have to spend a big chunk of your assets down. What the partnership plans do is they say, okay, if we buy a long-term care policy in partnership, they call them partnership plans, and it has a $200,000 benefit over the 2, 3, 4 years, however many years it's paying out, then your spend-down provision goes from that $2,000 a month to $202,000. You get to shelter an amount equal to whatever the policy covered. So basically, if you covered that $200,000 with the policy, that's $200,000 that even if you continue in the nursing home after the fact, that's money that you can protect for and continue to pass on to the heirs. So there's lots of different things to look at when you're dealing with it. So how do you strategically plan for it? You've heard the statistics. I mean, more than half the people out there are probably going to need long-term care at some point. Whether it's a married couple or a single individual, it's going to start happening more and more. Even.
Yeah, I've heard the statistics, and I've seen people who say, yeah, I've read the statistics, but I'm kind of ignoring it.
Well, and ignoring it, there are those who can't ignore it because their health history doesn't put them into a nursing home. It puts them in the ground. I mean, it sounds horrible, but there are certain health histories that you're not really that susceptible to long-term care.
Well, some are, but I think a lot of them are saying, you know, I feel healthy right now. I'm 45, I'm 50, I'm 55, I'm 60.
55 to 60 is where you feeling fine, 55 to 60 is the perfect time to be thinking about long-term care. When you're not feeling well, when you're starting to slow down, when you're starting to feel the arthritis, when you're starting to get into the areas where there are ailments, that makes it difficult to get insurance. So you want to get the long-term care. You look at your health history. You look at your family health history. You look at what's going on. You say, you know what? There's a high probability that I'm going to need some kind of coverage, or I want this coverage. You want to get it before you start getting unhealthy. It gets impossible if you've got the issues, whether it be cognitive or whether it be physical disabilities, whether it be, arthritis is a big one. I mean, you see, mm-hmm. because the more likely you are to need it and the more likely you're showing that you're going to need it, you're not going to get it. And people say, well, I'll just wait until I'm 70 to buy it. It's expensive when you're 70. And even though you're only going to pay it for a few years potentially, whereas if you picked it up at 60, you're paying it for a lot more time, the sheer amount of premiums will be less paying it over long periods of time because the insurance companies know they still have to fund the same basic benefit mm-hmm. but on a shorter period. They're going to charge you more. So how do we cover the need when we don't have the huge net worth or the huge incomes? What do we do?
Yeah, what do we do? And what do we do when we say, look, I may not even need this. I know I'm going to die someday, so I have life insurance. But what if I don't need this long-term care? There's a potential solution for that. We'll talk about that. And anything else that's on your mind, hey, lines open, 877-PLANNER. Give us a call. It's Bucket Strategy Investing.
Every investor has their own unique financial fingerprint, each with their own unique concerns.
Concern that I have is that I'm not going to have enough money for retirement.
At Lucia Capital Group, we hear your biggest concerns.
Taxes in retirement. Taxes are already biting us pretty good.
Retirement in today's economy can be overwhelming.
Most of my 401k is in a high-risk investment, and I'm concerned about that.
If you're worried about outliving your money, the unpredictability of the stock market, or risks associated with inflation, call Lucia Capital Group for a complimentary plan review. Learn how the bucket strategy is designed to provide opportunities for diversification and investment options in a low interest rate environment. Schedule a consultation at no cost by calling 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com, luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk. Lucia Capital Group advisors travel the country talking to individuals about retirement at open seminars, but they can also schedule a private seminar at your company and customize a retirement planning presentation for your employees.
I'm Rick Plum, certified financial planner.
And I'm Terry Keyes, chartered financial consultant.
We'll teach you a strategy to integrate Social Security benefits with your other investments.
We'll talk about lifetime income strategies and what alternatives to stocks and bonds may fit into your retirement plan.
We'll tell you what you should know about managed portfolios, and we'll discuss your concerns about outliving your money, stock market volatility, and managing your taxes.
Business owners and HR managers can now schedule private retirement planning meetings for organizations of 50 or more. Call Lucia Capital Group at 800-644-1150 to schedule. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer security through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Sometimes what you want most from your car is nothing. No headaches, no surprises, no anxiety when it's late at night and you're on some distant freeway in a thunderstorm. Owning a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz can be that anxiety-free experience on every level. You know you're in one of the safest and most thoughtfully engineered vehicles on the road. And with an unlimited mileage warranty, you can drive as far as you want for up to 3 years, with roadside assistance included. Your sense of confidence and adventure are as unlimited as the warranty itself. Now you can drive the car of your dreams and realize that nothing is everything. And during the certified pre-owned sales event, now through August 31st, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and 0.99% APR financing on select models available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties. APR offer available only to qualified customers. Call 1-800-FOR-MERCEDES for details about costs and terms.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, my daughter needs back-to-school supplies.
Well, Staples has everything you need at low prices every day.
Oh, fantastic. She needs more markers.
Your daughter's a budding artist?
No, a huge loser.
Well, I'm sure
she loses markers, crayons, glue.
Oh, I get it.
Right. She's just a loser, not a loser-loser.
Back-to-school supplies are back for more. Staples has everything you need for back to school at low prices every day. Like a 12-pack of Crayola colored pencils, just 97 cents. Staples, make more happen.
While supplies last, ends 9/17, limit 30 in store, 10 online.
QL1, you've been talking a lot about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans lately. What would you say is the best reason to use it?
It's easy to use. You can get approved in minutes. It's convenient.
Hey, QL1, I asked for the best reason.
Oh, hold on. I wasn't finished. You can share your pay stubs and bank statements at the touch of a button, so you get real numbers, not estimates. And
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, Call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Market Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER. Get on board. Give us a call. Whatever money issue you have, we're here to talk to you about it. We do it every day on this program, and we've got just limited amounts of time to talk to people, so give us a call right now when we have lines open. Excuse me, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Okay, now before the break, you mentioned something about these long-term care policies, Professor Plum, and I guess the question is, what sort of policy should you be looking for, and how do you go about getting it?
Well, like with any insurance, if it didn't cost anything, you'd probably sign up for as much as you can get. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's not the insurance that we have a big issue with. It's paying for it. And so how do you go about, especially when you retire and you take usually a cut in pay between what you were making when you were working. But even if you don't take a cut in pay, it's coming from a different source and it's a little bit different. And you have a little, you know, where's the money going to come from? How do you pay for something that if it were free, you wouldn't have any problem getting, but it's just a matter of paying for it. And that's where designing the insurance and how you go about creating it to fit your specific needs comes into play. And this is where one size does not fit all. You have to look at where your income is coming from, how your portfolio is structured. If you have a very high income and you don't have a very high net worth, than having a traditional policy where you pay a monthly premium because you've got the income to be able to pay for it. You don't have the assets. On the other side, a lot of people retire where the majority of their income or the majority of their assets are assets from their 401k, profit sharing plans, things like that. And they have some Social Security, but they don't have a lot of other incomes. And so in those cases, it may be better to carve off a piece of the money and put it into a policy one time, a linked benefit policy, and let it go. Now, we also see people that retire that have had insurance, permanent cash value type insurance, through their years, that they may or may not need as much insurance anymore. They can reduce the death benefit a little bit and use the cash value of the insurance to, you know, basically set aside into a policy that does maybe double duty. It doesn't provide as much life insurance as the policy did before, but it will also provide for long-term care. And so it's all about looking at who you are, what you are, what you've got going on in your life to determine how to do it. Now, not everybody needs a huge long-term care policy. It may be that you want to self-insure part of it. You say, look, if either my spouse or I go into a nursing home, I don't need to cover the entire cost of the nursing home from an insurance policy because, as I mentioned before, with the couple we were talking about before, they don't expect to be traveling as much. So that travel budget gets cut back. But that travel budget, what they had in their budget for travel before, can be used to help pay for some of that long-term care stay. Now, how much of it is? In their case, it wasn't a huge number, but maybe in your case, it's a bigger number. Maybe you've got things in your budget. But the reality is when somebody goes into a home, a lot of other, you know, extracurricular type of activities in retirement go away because the well spouse spends a lot of time just visiting the institutionalized
spouse. So they have more money,
you're
saying? And that's
they have less expenses.
Which
so the money they
money.
Have,
yeah.
It's not that they have more income, they have less expenses, which gives them a higher discretionary income, more cash flow to
cover. Yeah, the net effect is the same, sure.
But they might not have enough to cover the whole thing because the average cost of a nursing home, you know, right now is, you know, probably $6,000-$7,000 a month for a full-on, big-time, you know, nursing
one that covers everything.
One that covers everything. And so that can really eat into a budget very quickly.
Oh, sure.
And so instead of getting $300 a day, $250 a day, maybe you only get $150 a day. And you say, well, I'm going to self-insure it. That brings the premium down. Or maybe you say, you know what, I have enough money to provide for a year's worth of coverage, but I don't have the catastrophic side. So instead of buying a, you know, a policy that starts as soon as possible, maybe you self-insure the early part, and then only ask the insurance company to cover the, you know, part
well,
after
the same,
a year.
That's the same, like that's similar to a deductible.
That is a deductible.
I mean,
yeah.
you say okay, I'll do instead of the first. I think a lot of the times these policies make you cover the first 60 days,
90 days,
whatever it is. You could say I'll cover the first 6 months on my own.
Or a year, or whatever it is. That brings the premium down quite nicely, you know, because the insurance company knows that the statistics are that X number of people will need insurance after 90 days, mm-hmm. or need, you know, will still be in a home after 90 days.
But maybe only half of those will be in there after a year.
So they can adjust the premiums dramatically. So it's all about tailoring, whether it's a, you know, lump sum linked benefit type policy or an ongoing annual pay. But there are different policies, there are different products out there now that help pay for your long-term care. There are even annuity products now. So if I have, let's say years ago I got into a personal annuity, not inside of an IRA, I put in, you know, $50,000, $75,000, and over the past 10, 15, 20 years, it's grown nicely, and it's, you know, got a lot of deferred income in it, a lot of gain in it, that if I start drawing money out, it'll be taxable. That's the way annuities work, right? But there's some new policies that if I qualify for the long-term care benefit, I can use a 1035 exchange, that's a tax-deferred exchange into the new policy, and if I happen to use the policy for long-term care, I can get the money out without the paying of the taxes on it.
Yeah.
That's not a bad deal. So money that I had sitting aside. And so the whole key, though, starts with where is your money going to come from in retirement? Is it coming from asset-based income, or is it coming from pension-based income? Do you have enough money of either? And are you prepared for retirement to be able to cover your normal expenses, let alone some of these other expenses that may hit you in the future? And that's all about planning for retirement.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is. 877-PLANNER, by the way, if you have any questions on any of this or questions on something else. 877-752-6637. Excuse me. Now, you mentioned something a few moments ago, a type of policy that covers double duty. These are what are known as the linked benefit policies. Let's talk about those for just a moment, because we've had questions on those from people who are watching and listening.
And they're becoming more popular, but they do require having some amount of money that you can apply towards the situation. One of the problems with long-term care, and John mentioned it earlier, is that while we all know that at some point we're going to die, so life insurance doesn't seem quite as much of a, you know, throwing money down a hole, because we know that if we keep the insurance, we're going to die at some point. Insurance is going to pay off. Long-term care is not a guarantee. You may not need long-term care. You may, you know, just die and not have to go into a nursing home. So people sometimes balk at paying for an insurance they don't necessarily think they might need. But then we buy car insurance and hope that we never get in an accident. We buy fire insurance on our houses, hope we never have a fire. I don't know the statistics on that, but I'm sure it's not, you know, not even 50% have fires at their house, where the numbers are quite a bit higher for needing long-term care. But it's one of those things that it's not a guarantee. So one of the things the insurance companies have done in the past, you know, couple decades is create these linked benefit policies where we can either use existing cash value from a life insurance policy and do a 1035 exchange into another policy, where the policy itself, it is a life insurance-based policy, but it has a long-term care component to it. So that way, if we've got cash value in it, most of the policies that I've seen ensure that the cash value will not go down over the next 15 years. It's not going to go up much either, because the earnings on the cash value will be used to pay for the expenses of the long-term care and the life insurance. But if you put in $50,000, you'll probably get $80,000, $90,000 of death benefit. Not a huge death benefit, but a little bit more. And then some multiple of that as a long-term care benefit that can be withdrawn in the event of long-term care. So there's really, once you've, you know, get into your retirement, there's only three potential outcomes with what could happen with this policy. Either you need the cash and you can withdraw cash. You don't need the cash and you don't need long-term care and you die, there's a death benefit for the heirs. Or you need long-term care, there's a long-term care benefit. Now, is it as comprehensive? Is it as good of a death benefit? Is it the best cash value investment? No, not on any of those fronts. But it's one thing that tries to do three things at once, and it does it okay.
Yeah, so let's just give an example. Maybe you put $100,000 into this, you give them, it's a lump sum of $100,000.
Right, so there's no more premiums ever required.
Right, so you put that in, and it might give you for a death benefit.
Well, with $100,000 in, it all depends on age.
Yeah.
You know, the younger you are, the more the death benefit.
Well, let's say,
the more,
you know, you're
care.
65-ish, something like that.
I don't know, $180,000, $190,000 of death benefit.
All right, so call it about $180,000 of death benefit. You put the $100,000 in, you die, you get the $180,000.
Your heirs do.
Your heirs do, yes, of course. So you get your $100,000 back plus an extra $80,000. But there's also a long-term care component to this particular product, too. I give them $100,000. I know I have a $180,000 death benefit, but you also might have how much long-term care benefit?
You might have $360,000 of long-term care benefit.
$360,000 of long-term care.
These are not exact numbers. We are
doing this
off the cuff
this
here.
This is for illustrative purposes, but this just gives you an idea of what these linked benefit policies can do.
Now, if I go into a nursing home and I start using the long-term care benefit, it is coming from the cash and from the death benefit.
Sure. So if you use $20,000 or $30,000 of the of long-term
benefit,
care, that $180,000 life insurance policy is
goes
not
down
be
by that amount of
reduced
money.
Reduced by exactly that amount.
And so it could go down to zero, and I'd still have some long-term care benefit left.
Yeah.
So the cash will run out first, the death benefit run out second, the long-term care will run out third.
Right, but you took care of your needs in the order that you had them. Right. And if you didn't need long-term care, you had the life insurance.
And what a lot of people like about it is that it's money that they've set aside. They don't have to make another premium. They're not, you know, feeding it. They're not, you know, they're not going to get that notice that they have more money that they have to put into it to keep it alive. And it's done. Over with, covered. Out of the way.
That's right. All right, 877-PLANNER. We have lines open right now. If you've got questions on any of this or something else, 877-PLANNER. We have some emails to get to as well. We'll get to those when we come back. You can send them to us at our website, wealthed.com. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. We're coming right back.
If you're investing in the stock market, you know there may be reward, but you know there will be risk. So consider this. Would you sacrifice some of the gain you may get with your investments if you could potentially reduce some of the risk and potentially cut some of your losses? If you answered yes, you need to learn about a risk buffer strategy. With a risk buffer strategy, an insurance company insures your investment for a certain percentage of loss over a given period of time, and you determine the level of protection you get. Watch a short video at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. That explains how you can potentially reduce risk when the market may be down, but still capitalize on stock gains. Can you find a way to manage risk in unpredictable markets? Watch the video at riskbuffer.com. Riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, at Lucia Capital Group. We believe there are three critical steps that should precede making any investment decision: education, advice, and planning. Education. Learn about available options and expand your understanding of investment products. Advice. Get guidance from experienced financial planning professionals who you feel understand your specific needs. Planning. Choose a strategy that consistently supports your investment decisions. Where can you go for financial guidance? Lucia Capital Group invites you to build your wealth education at wealthed.com. Wealthed.com features live and on-demand video programming featuring Lucia Capital Group advisors who will help educate you about investing, give guidance based on years of experience in the financial services industry, and help you build a strategic plan that integrates your investments. Wealthed.com, the site dedicated to wealth education. Wealthed.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
There's a new answer for people in need of serious pain relief. Lidocare has created a one-of-a-kind pain relief patch that blocks pain for up to 8 hours. With the only non-water-based lidocaine patch on the market, Lidocare uses patent-pending technology to desensitize aggravated nerves for an odor-free, ultra-flexible, dry, and light solution to pain. The Lidocare Pain Patch from the makers of Blue Emu. For long-lasting relief, you can wear. Available at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
Geico applauds your inner ride leader.
An enthusiastic engine rev goes out to the biker in you who leads the pack. Even if that pack is a party of one, you're still a leader to Geico. To prove it, Geico will insure your motorcycle with great rates and 24/7 customer service. And with Geico by your side, you're never cruising solo, which means you've just been nominated as a real ride leader. Congrats. The smell of fine leather and trailblazing is in your future.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
It's Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. There's another hour just ahead, so keep it right here for more of the best in money information. If you want to email us, we do have lines open at 877-PLANNER. If you want to email us, you go to our website, wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealthed.com. I want to get to some of these emails, Professor Plum, because they have been piling up over the last few days, and I checked, and I don't think I did any yesterday.
You're right. It was a different show.
It was a different show, yeah. We have so many shows. Let's start with Doug at the top of the list in Las Vegas, Nevada, who says, I'll start receiving my Social Security benefit of $1,580 next month. I'll be 66 this month. I am still working, making $42,000 per year. Someone said I will owe taxes on that money. Is that true? And if it is, can I withhold something, and how much should I withhold? I've had to pay in April a couple of times and don't really like that. Last year, my refund was about $300. I don't have any deductions. From Doug in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Well, Doug, assuming you don't have massive amounts of deductions, itemized deductions and things like that, yeah, you're going to owe some taxes on this. Your Social Security will be taxable, at least up to 85% of it. You're still making $42,000. When you take $42,000 plus your half of your Social Security, that puts you into the taxation portion of Social Security. And so how much should you withhold? Well, it kind of depends on the deductions, but the reality is you probably want to withhold about 20% from your Social Security. You're probably in the 25% tax bracket, but not all of the Social Security will be taxable. So 20% withholding would be a good number. I can't remember if Social Security will withhold that exact amount. But you're going to want to withhold something. Now, Social Security will do a withholding. They will do with tax withholding on the Social Security benefit. You just have to file the form and do it. You can do it online. It's not difficult. And they have specific percentages that you can withhold. As I mentioned, I don't know if 20 is one of them. But just pick one around that number, and you'll be fine. Worst case scenario, you get a little bit of a refund, maybe a little bit bigger than the $300 you got last year. But you've said you don't like to pay. You are going to owe taxes on this money. And so if you're basically break even on what you were earning before, and you throw on another, $18,000 or $17,000 of taxable income on top of your return, yeah, you're going to owe some more taxes. And at that level, you're probably in about the 25% bracket on that next amount of money. So I would want to withhold some taxes from my, either increase the withholding on your paycheck quite a bit, or just have them withhold from the Social Security check. They'll do it.
Yeah, you can. We don't get a lot of questions on that, but you can withhold extra taxes on the Social Security benefits if you want.
You can, and for a lot of people, they either pay quarterlies in retirement because they don't have a paycheck, and that's where most people do their withholding. You can withhold it from several sources. You can withhold it from the Social Security. If you're receiving a pension, you can have them withhold money. If you're receiving an IRA distribution, you can have money withheld from your IRA distribution. Generally, money coming from a personal account doesn't have any withholding available to it. So you have to look at where is your taxable income coming from and will they withhold? Social Security is one of those areas that could be taxable, and they will withhold.
Now, does it matter if, he doesn't say, but if he's single or married?
It does to some degree because it dictates how much of his Social Security will or will not be taxable. Also, he has more tax. He wouldn't be in the 15 or the 25% bracket if those are his only incomes. Now, if those are his only incomes and he's married, then there will be some tax on the Social Security, but won't be anywhere near as much. Also, they won't be in the 25% bracket. It'll be in the 15% bracket, assuming those are the only incomes. So married and single does play a factor mm-hmm. into this.
You know, it's interesting because he asks this question, and I know a lot of people would have the same question too, oddly enough. But I think there's a misconception out there that once you either hit full retirement age, or some people have said age 70, that Social Security benefits are not taxable. If you look at it on the face of it, you know, if somebody just said, I'm getting an extra $1,600 a month, you know, $19,000, $20,000 a year, whatever it is, of income, I would say, sure, yeah, of course I'm going to have to pay taxes on it. It's going to raise my income. But for some reason, I think people look at it and they say, well, it's Social Security, so I'm not really going to, there really isn't any tax on it. And they're surprised when they see that there is a tax on that money.
The benefits that you're receiving from Social Security may be taxable. It has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with the type of benefit you're receiving. It doesn't matter whether it's a disability benefit, a survivor benefit, your own retirement benefit, a spousal benefit, a family benefit, whatever you want to call it. If it's coming from Social Security, there is the potential that it is taxable. The potential is based on what other income you have. If you have no other income, it's not taxable. But if you have other incomes, and the combination of those incomes plus half of your Social Security exceeds certain thresholds, then some amount of your Social Security will be taxable. It's different for everybody because it's a sliding scale based on these other incomes. It's also a sliding scale based on whether you're married or filing as a single individual. So we have to look at what are these other incomes. What other incomes do they count? Basically everything that shows up on the tax return. All of those taxable incomes, the capital gains, even though the capital gain may have a tax rate of zero, it's still part of the calculation to determine whether or not you're paying taxes on your Social Security. Qualified dividends, non-qualified dividends, interest, tax-free interest, real estate activity, IRA distributions, pension money, all the types of incomes that you have. You got to take a look at that, add them all up, and then add half of your Social Security benefit to that. And if it exceeds, you know, $25,000 as a single individual or $32,000 as a married couple, some of your Social Security is going to be taxable. Plan for it accordingly because, as John mentioned, it catches a lot of people by surprise.
Boy, doesn't it?
And it shouldn't, because it is another income source that the government wants to tax. They will let low-income people not pay taxes, but that $25,000 and $32,000 number I mentioned a minute ago, that has not changed since the $25,000 number was instituted in the $32,000, since 1983, and there is no provision for it to change. Now, in 1983, it didn't hit that many people. Not that many retirees had the modified adjusted gross income for a married couple exceeding $32,000. Now they do. So it catches a lot more people each and every year. And so, and it's not going to be indexed for inflation.
No, it's not. And the other thing is this, we talked about required minimum distributions yesterday. You know, we've had situations where somebody is receiving Social Security and say, okay, well, I know it's not being taxed right now because of my income and all that stuff. But once you hit required minimum distribution, all of a sudden you have a little bit more income. Not only is that taxed, but your Social Security is now subject to tax.
Right, and it happens more often than not when you are deferring and you're living off of personal money until such time as you get your till you get to the required minimum distribution. So most, you know, a lot of average individuals may not be paying a lot in tax on their Social Security until the RMDs hit, and then all of a sudden, boom. They think they're in the 15% bracket, but that $10,000 RMD cost them $2,700, $2,800 in income taxes, just on the federal side.
Doug, thank you for the question. We've got more coming up. We've got another hour just ahead. If you need the brain trust, like Professor Rick Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, off the air, their phone number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Our number, 877-PLANNER. Get on board. We're coming right back.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.